Hey everyone, welcome back to Nothing But the Tooth podcast put on by the South Dakota Dental Hygienists Association. My name is Katie, and today we have a really exciting podcast episode for you. We have Garrett Wilson, who is here to talk to us about his company, Pay Insights. I'm just going to give a little brief introduction, and then Garrett is going to kind of tell us his background. But Garrett Wilson has been in HR for over 15 years. He has experience in negotiating pay in the companies that he's worked for. But most recently, he started a company called Pay Insights, where he tries to simplify pay for employers and employees. So Garrett, if you would, just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you wanted to start Pay Insights.
Yeah, sounds great. Well, one of the reasons why I got into HR was because I was really passionate about business, but I was really passionate about helping people maximize their culture and their time at work. And I really wanted to help people be the best versions of themselves because we spend so much time in the workplace. So we want to be happy. As that time has consistently evolved, we're really focused on talent acquisition and hiring really good people, maximizing our current workforce. And around that is compensation. And like you mentioned, I've had hundreds of conversations about pay on behalf of the employees and the employers trying to find a good solution for everyone. And when you're in HR, your social circles find out. And when they find out you work in HR, one of the things that they always asked me was how much they should be making in their job. And just by nature, I have a lot of contacts in the dental field, both from the employee and the employer side. And when they come to me, unfortunately, even with all that knowledge, it was really hard to give them the information that they needed to figure out how much they should be. I did a little test and I tried to see how much like a dental hygienist should make in the field if they had 10 years of experience. And the range was crazy. I looked at all of the public websites. The range that they gave me was from $35,000 to $135,000. And that is terrible. And so I just knew that there was a better solution out there if we could do something about it. And I have the talent, the knowledge and the skills, the resources to help make a difference in the space. And that's why I started Pay Insights.
Awesome, great. So going further into that, so now you've started this company, you're doing some research. What do you see as the mission and the vision of Pay Insights? What are your company
goals? From a company goal standpoint, we want to be the go-to resource for compensation information in the dental field. Like very practically, that is what our goal is. To do that, we really need to make sure that we get the right information and the right data for employees and employers, and then display it in a way that they understand and can use it. One of the things that we like to do as part of our mission and our vision is not only do we want to give people the information, but we want to teach people how to use the information to have conversations with employees, and the employers have conversations with their employees to make sure that everyone is aligned, we're communicated, and pay can be, I'll say, not a contentious issue in the workplace anymore.
Yeah, it does seem to be a contentious issue. And that range that you offered, 35 to 135, that's a pretty wide range. So why do you think it is, why is determining pay so challenging for businesses and employers?
Good question. So it's challenging because there's not reliable data that is available. Just kind of going through that research, like there's been a lot of times where an individual would try and use the main resources that are out there that are available to the public. Think of like your Glassdoors or your salary.coms or something else like that. Even the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's very broad It's not necessarily always following the best practices, and it's not localized information. So it's hard to get a compelling data point to at least get you in the right ballpark to have a meaningful conversation. So if you have the lack of data, and then a lot of times we just don't teach people how to be advocates for themselves. So they don't know how to be a champion, how to broach the topic. And that just kind of creates some angst. And so if you don't have a plan, they say plan to fail. A lot of times small employers are also at a disadvantage because it's really hard as an employer to find good information that isn't going to cost you an arm and a leg, right? Medium-sized or large employers have lots of big budgets to go buy this information. Small employers don't. And so they're tackling the same challenges as the employee. They just don't have good information, and they might not have the right background or structure to create some really good compensation framework to be able to articulate that to their employees.
So, and in terms of like looking at it from an employer side, why should an employer really care about getting wages right for their staff?
Great question. So there was a, just use a data point to reinforce the point here. In 2023, the Health Policy Institute, which is part of the ADA, the Dental Hygiene Association at the national level, and the Dental Assistant Group at the national level conducted a workforce study. And overall, they had three major recommendations to make sure that we're solving these workforce challenges that we're having. And number one was culture, making sure that we have really successful and healthy cultures for the employees to be successful. And number two was pay, right? The biggest challenge that they saw in their research was we aren't assessing pay on a regular basis. People are feeling that they're underpaid for the work that they're doing. And there's not the right framework. So if we can win in those two spaces, and then number three was staff feeling overworked. So it's kind of a three-headed monster that they were trying to attack. When it comes to pay specifically, if we kind of just carve out that component, getting pay right is essential for financial success. Every business is in business to make money, right? That's why you exist. But when you are trying to pay your employees and you don't have the right data to do it, you're wasting resources. You're potentially overpaying certain staff, you're potentially underpaying staff, which leads to contention. And really, the only other way your current staff has any way of validating if they're being paid fairly is going out and applying for other jobs, right? That is not what you want your employees to do in a workforce shortage. So that is some good retention opportunities and some good hiring opportunities to nail down your pay structure.
Yeah, for sure. You had sent us your link to your new website, which looks beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
A quote that I saw on there just really kind of hit home. So the quote from the website says, "The more we work, the more we feel the link between transparency, happiness, and effectiveness. Now there's a way to improve them all." So in terms of pay transparency, can you help us just kind of understand what is pay transparency and why is it important?
Great. So pay transparency and salary transparency is kind of a buzzword out there, but if we had to simplify it and make it less scary, right? It is simply the amount of information the employer wants to share about pay. And it has been around for decades, right? And some industries have more transparency than others. For example, in the government sectors, or if you work for a university or anything that is like kind of like taxpayer funded, it is very easy to go out on the website and look up wages. So if I want to go see what the mayor of Sioux Falls is making, I have access to to do that. If I want to go see what the president of the University of South Dakota is making, it's out there on the internet. There's a high level of transparency. Depending on the employer, sometimes there is less transparency. And they kind of keep information behind closed doors. But it's just kind of varying degree of what the company is ready to share with their employees at that particular time.
And we, you know, I work with the University of South Dakota a lot. And, you know, our graduates, our upcoming graduates were always like, well, what do I ask in an interview? What should I ask for? What's the going rate as a new grad? And it's so hard, like you said, because there's such a wide range of offices. And, you know, especially in South Dakota, we have a unique geographical issue, right? So some of our offices are very rural. Some of our offices are in Sioux Falls, which is significantly different. So even for our new grads, or even for hygienists that have been working 10 years, how can improving salary transparency then, what does that mean for hygienists?
Good question. So like from a hygienist standpoint, I think what can help is it can validate what your, if you're getting paid a fair wage or not. Right. That is probably one of the biggest and toughest questions to answer if you don't have the right information. If you feel like you're getting paid fairly, then you likely have higher work satisfaction and you don't have to worry about if your employer has your best interest in mind. And so one of the ways that we can increase that transparency is through the salary survey that is, you know, happening in February. If we can share that information, there's kind of like some major benefits on all different levels for the hygienists that are in the state. One, on the individual level, you can validate kind of what you're making based off of your years of experience. We'll break it down by like experience bands versus giving one broad range and leaving it up to you to figure out where you fall in that range. It'll actually really help the profession. So we can help kind of like balance things out a little bit. We can share information because the amount of wages for a new hire should be very different than someone with 10 years of experience. And then the other benefit is it also helps the employer. So if we can aggregate information and make it available for employees and employers, then we're kind of looking at information in the same playbook and not operating in different numbers. Because right now, the, you know, there's could be like a hot low level of transparency. The employer won't show you their numbers. The employee won't share their numbers. But if we're looking from the same data set, then we can kind of eliminate that that challenge.
Yeah, so there's a lot of benefits then to have something so localized, right? So I think that this salary survey coming out is going to be very helpful to be more accurate. And how is it different then from other resources that are currently available? Like I think you mentioned the Bureau of Labor Statistics and stuff. How is Pay Insights different than some of the resources that are out there right now?
Good question. A lot of the resources out there are very macro. They're big, right? And so you might be able to get some sort of a region breakdown or a state breakdown. But we know like cost of living is different in Rapid City than in Pierre, right? Or it's different than Millbank than in Sioux Falls, right? So with Pay Insights, we can get a little bit more micro. And if we, when we get the right information, we'll be able to break it down further. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics will tell you the average is XYZ. Here's the range, right? But is average someone with 10 years of experience, or is it someone with 20 years of experience? Do we pay differences with a general practice office or someone that is in public health? So we'll, at Pay Insights, we'll take in all of those variables, we'll regionalize it, we'll break it down by years of experience and provide a lot better insight into the South Dakota market to help everyone.
Awesome. So recently there has been, I think, some changes in the workforce of dental hygiene, or in even dental in general. I know there's a shortage of hygienists, there's a shortage of assistants. What has happened? Do you know, do you have any insights into what's happened to the workforce to make pay so competitive in dental hygiene?
Yeah, it seems like it's always been very competitive. But there was a thing that happened in 2020 called COVID. I think we're all still trying to blame COVID for a lot of our challenges in the workforce that we're tackling today. Based off of some of the numbers that I saw, it accelerated about like 6 to 10% of the number of hygienists in the market into like retirement or just exit the workforce in general. Since hygiene is like a very specialized role and that isn't really, and it's very hard to like automate. We aren't able to like fill that gap, that talent gap fast enough. So we have like one program in the state with a limited number of students. So we're not able to keep up. We have people that are moving to our state. Overall, our population is growing. Those people need dental care. So we have higher demand on our businesses. We have a shortage of workforce. And so you are going to have, employers are going to the highest bidder, right? And they're trying to compete with a finite resource. So that is what is kind of putting the, I'll say kind of the wages into a tailspin. Those are some of the major contributing factors.
Yep. So often, you know, as employees, some work relationships or some employer-employer relationships get a little bit difficult. I know that we've had some hygienists report that they do get discouraged from talking about their salaries, especially with other hygienists or other employers. So can you just give us a little bit of insight into why does this happen? What do you recommend to people that are in that position?
Yeah. So I think the first thing to always keep in mind, it is very legal, right, for you to talk about your own wage with anyone you want to, right? It is actually illegal for an employer from prohibiting you to do that, right? So you have all of the legal protection in the world, right, to talk about your own specific pay. That's primarily to all private employers, federal contractors, and probably majority of listeners right now. I think the main reason why they discourage, even though they tell you you can't, is because they lose negotiating power, right? Typically, that is, you know, something that employers don't want employees to know because they don't want to shell out more money. Maybe they're not confident in their current pay practices. That might cause like some undue angst or potential turnover. So they try and keep it behind closed doors. Not all employers are like that, but those are typically the main reasons why they would try to discourage you from doing so.
So then something like Pay Insights too could even help those employers have some set data to say, you know, this is where you're at, this is where sort of the average or the range should be.
100%. Yeah. So we will help provide that data set to employers. But what we also teach them is how to effectively evaluate their talent, right? Just because you have XYZ years of experience doesn't make you a good employee, right? It is one data point, right? So, you know, it's very capable, like, or very possible that someone with 5 years of experience might be a better hygienist than 10 years of experience. And so what we kind of teach is employees and employers is, one, how do you want to position yourself in the market, right? Because not every employer can be a top paying employer. We talk about what's your employee value proposition and what's your employer value proposition. And we can talk about those a little bit more in depth. But it's also like being, we always encourage people and employers to be very transparent with their employees to let them know it's like, these are the attributes that we are evaluating when it comes to trying to figure out pay, right? Because pay is very individualized. So if you are meeting your production numbers, or if you're consistently training new staff, or if you're doing like all of these things that we value as an employer, those are the things that we're going to take into account when determining compensation, right? Because, you know, not every employee is a great employee, right? And so you're going to have some tough conversations around pay with people who aren't performing as well. So,
right. There's a lot of things that go into it aside from years of experience. That is for sure.
Yeah.
So if you are a hygienist and you're looking to negotiate, I don't know if we just always have that ingrained in our personality. Some people, that's very natural thing to do. And some people are really opposed to it. Like they just, it makes them uncomfortable even saying the word negotiate a salary. So if hygienists were looking to negotiate about a salary increase, what tips or recommendations would you give them?
Yeah, I would say it's always an uncomfortable situation, even for me. Like if I'm working with my past employers trying to negotiate my own pay, it's because like we don't have the conversation very often, right? And so it's how do we build confidence in our own selves to be able to have that conversation? So assuming you have the right data and the right number in mind, like to have that conversation, we always say, how important is pay in the grand scheme of things? Because the benefits of an employer aren't only in like in your paycheck, right? You might like flexibility, right, in your schedule. You might like the office culture. You might love your, you know, your dentist or your employer, right? Maybe it's really important for you to always make it to your kid's soccer game. And you know that at that particular employer, you can count on them to be, to have that flexibility. So we look at those things like holistically. And if pay is really important to you, and for a lot of people it is, depending on your stage of life, and then we can go to the next stage, which would be having that conversation and figuring out how do you articulate the range? How do you articulate your value proposition? Like you need to be able to speak the employer's language. And hopefully you understand like what they value in their employees. You kind of want to create like a little bit of a brag book of all of the great contributions you've done throughout the year or the evaluation period, so you can understand the total value that you are bringing to the organization. And those are the types of things that we're going to pull out into like a script, into your negotiations. You want to be very specific on what you're asking for, and then be able to like have an interactive conversation with the employer. All of those things and more are going to be available on the Pay Insights website as well.
Yeah, so let's finish with that. Let's finish talking about the salary survey and the survey coming out. Can you tell our listeners just a little bit more about the survey and what they should be looking for and what hope you know they expect to see coming out of that once that survey is done and all the data is collected?
Yeah, perfect. So the launch date is February 28th. There'll be a few different ways to find it. One, it'll be on our website. Two, hopefully you'll get like a mailer sent to you with the QR code, and it'll take you right to that page. I know that the Hygienist Association will be a good advocate and help share communication. So hopefully you get the communication multiple times. The survey itself, it'll ask some personal information, but everything is 100% confidential, right? We do not say which offices are paying what. We just anonymize the data and break it into regions. The survey itself takes 7 minutes or less, asks about your pay and some other key information that would be really good for employees and employers to know in our marketplace. We'll consolidate it. And then we'll give the hygienist a personalized report based off of their region, And kind of where they're at in their experience level. So they'll be able to validate where they're paying. We'll also break, we'll also kind of have like a, I'll call it like a State of the Union report, where it gives you a further breakdown of like what benefits are being offered in the region. Should there be any compensation differentiation between the types of practices? We'll break it down by education level and more.
Great. Awesome. So if you are listening, be on the lookout for that. I know we are going to send the survey out to all of our members because we just think it's going to be such a really great comprehensive picture of, you know, the dental hygiene environment and culture in South Dakota. So be on the lookout for that. Also, Garrett's going to be joining us at annual session. So he is going to be doing on the in the dental hygiene annual session at the meetings. He's going to be giving us a CE where he's going to be teaching us all about negotiation tactics and how to be strong, brave hygienists who advocate for themselves. And then finally, thank you so much for coming on. We're excited to learn more about this. And I just want to give you just a little bit of time to shout out where they can find information about Pay Insights, your company. Are you on social media? Websites is payinsights.com, but where else can they find you and follow you?
You can find more information on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook are the major social platforms that we're on. So like you mentioned, the website has a lot of great information if anyone wants to see like sample surveys, and those will be a good resource to help contextualize a lot of the information. And we'll be putting other great content on our social channels.
Great. And we'll put the link to his website in the show notes of the podcast too. So if you're listening on Spotify, you can definitely just go down in the show notes and click on the link and you'll find it there. Thank you, Garrett, so much. We will see you in May.
Thank you for having me.